and helping us kick off our series of updates of the rest of the AFC North, our good friend Aaron Wilson, who covers the Baltimore Ravens for the Carroll County Times. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Vic.
Well, let's start talking about that team you cover, and we'll start with Ray Rice, the running back who has been having some contractual issues with the club. It looks like this thing has been dragging out now for a long time. How much longer do you see it dragging out?
You know, I think it's going to come right down to this July 16th deadline, and they're still falling apart. They don't have anywhere close to a deal at this point. Nothing is imminent, and you know, Ray wants to be paid the level commensurate with the top running backs in the league. He doesn't expect that Chris Jones or Adrian Peterson deal, but you know, he wants to top the LeSean McCoys and the Arian Fosters, and they just don't have anywhere close to something that would resemble a deal. So they're far apart, and the Ravens, they do value Ray Rice and the running back position. However, they have a disconnect with his representation, Todd France, and it just doesn't look like they're going to have a deal. But, you know, at the last minute, like they say in the NFL, deadlines spur action, and we'll see. I'll, you know, obviously keep monitoring it, but right now there's nothing, you know, that suggests that they will get something done, and he may just play this year under the $7.7, $14 million franchise tag, and as is his right, he hasn't signed that and hasn't shown up for any organized team activities, mini camps, or organized weightlifting sessions.
Yeah, and Aaron, I mean, worst case scenario, as you said, if he just plays under the tag, he does that. I mean, do you see, though, some acrimony? I mean, how bad could it get in terms of his relationship with the team if it's not resolved in a long-term deal?
I think that it's negative because this is a very popular player in the locker room. He's their best offensive player. So I do think that it has some ramifications. Not that guys are going to revolt, but you know, I don't think it lends itself to happiness. I do think that there's a bigger picture because of the Joe Flacco deal that they'll need to do, either franchising him or signing him in the offseason, and they're not close on that, and they don't have the cap space. They have the least cap room in the NFL. They only have $600,000. Now, they could fit a Ray Rice deal in. It's pretty much impossible for them to do a market value contract for Joe Flacco this year. So I'm expecting, you know, them to shelve that, and you know, they're not even really doing anything right now as far as talks. Then move on and try to either franchise Joe or sign him after the season. But they really would love to get a Ray Rice deal done so they'd have one of those things done. They are going to have more cap room after this season. They might have about $15 million available.
Now, another story with this football team in the offseason, Terrell Suggs suffering that tear of his right Achilles tendon back in April. What is the prognosis on that? What's his status as far as how long the, you know, what's the expectation? I know he had surgery in May. What's the expectation of how long he's going to be out?
Anything they get from this year is a bonus. I could see him maybe being a situational rusher in December. I think that he backed off of the November optimistic stance that he had initially. The reasons for optimism, it was a slightly smaller incision. It's a new procedure done by Dr. Robert Anderson, who's one of the noted orthopedic surgeons in the country, and Carolina Panthers, one of their team doctors. The tear is a bit higher up, more toward the calf. It's not as, you know, right at the base of the Achilles tendon, and that helps him a bit. But he's a big guy. He plays on explosiveness, and I just wonder if he does come back, what's he like? And that's the question no one really could answer for you, and he wouldn't know either. So, you know, I just wouldn't expect big things from Terrell Suggs if and when he returns. So I just would be very, very conservative. And remember, they're talking about him, you know, as a guy that he's going to have a long career with the Ravens. And I think you have to think about his career more than anything else. Like John Harbaugh told me Saturday, you know, we just want to make sure there's no setbacks. Right. So we're going to be very careful with Terrell Suggs.
Aaron Wilson from the Carroll County Times. He covers the Ravens, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we provide updates on the rest of the AFC North this week, kicking off the series. Well, more about Suggs. What else does this team then do to account for his absence? Because he is, I guess, arguably their best defensive player, certainly a pass rushing terror. So how do they make up for that?
Well, their four best pass rushers are Paul Kruger, who's right now starting in Suggs' old rush linebacker spot. He had about 5.5 sacks as a sub package guy last year. They have a sixth-rounder from a year ago. He's a defensive end. He's going to contend for a starter job at left end where Corey Redding used to play and before he went to the Colts. His name is Pernell McPhee, and he had six sacks. Haloti Ngata is a really good interior rusher. He had about five sacks last year. And then Courtney Upshaw, we haven't seen what he does as a pass rusher at the NFL level other than, you know, OTAs and minicamps, but they're plugging him in at Jared Johnson's old position, Sam linebacker, the strong side, and I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities to rush. And he was a good pass rusher for Alabama in a, you know, ultra-competitive Southeastern Conference, so I would think that, you know, he'd be pretty good. He had 9.5 sacks last year, and those are the main guys. You know, Dean Pease is a crafty old defensive coordinator, and he'll, he's, this is his first year where he replaces Chuck Pagano, and I think he'll, you know, probably do some overloads and some scheme things and bring some extra guys to try to, you know, jack up the pass rush. But, yeah, it's, you just don't replace 14 sacks and 7 forced fumbles very easily.
You mentioned Courtney Upshaw, the defensive end from Alabama, although he'll be playing linebacker, obviously, for the Ravens. But he is the first of the 8 draft picks that the Ravens had this year, even though drafted on the second round, 35th overall. Of the 8 players, would he pretty much be the one guy from whom this team is expecting an impact? I know they, you know, you want all your guys to contribute in some way, but when you look at this list of players they drafted, Upshaw sounds to me like the only guy who's going to be noticed.
Right, he's the only impact player. The other guys, you might see a couple guys play key backup roles, like Kalechi Osemele, their second-round guard, who can also play some tackle. You might see a little more of him if Bryant McKinney, if things go south with him, and they have to say Michael Oyer, the left tackle. Then maybe Kalechi Osemele gets a look at right tackle, where he has the capability of playing and played a lot of tackle at Iowa State. You know, he's converting to guard in the NFL, but he's not that tall. But I look at, you know, Bernard Pierce, the running back from Temple. I could see him having that short yardage role. He's competing with Anthony Allen and Damian Barry, and I could see him having a role as a backup to Ray Rice. So those are a couple of guys that, you know, they may contribute, but as far as being guys that are frontline starters, important players, only Courtney Upshaw.
Yeah, of that group, and we'll see. Like you said, it's hard to gauge during these off-season workouts what a guy is until you get into that contact, and we'll be there soon enough. Now, how about this? With regard to the off-season workouts, there were a lot of stories mentioning the fact that about 19 or 20 Ravens players missed OTAs, missed the voluntary workouts. But when, even though they're voluntary, I think it makes a statement when you don't have that kind of attendance. And I know Ed Reed, who's famous for skipping these things, wasn't part of the he was the only player not part of the mandatory minicamp. But what does that absence of 19 or so guys mean to you, Aaron?
It means that they don't have workout bonuses that say that they are, you know, if they're not there, that's going to, you know, hurt them financially. So these guys don't have that motivation to come in. And that's unfortunate, but they just don't look at it as something that, you know, they should come to. But, you know, they'll obviously all be there for training camp, including Ed Reed. I expect him to be there.
Do you sense in any way that that this club, when you think of Ed Reed, when you think of Ray Lewis, that maybe some age creeps into some of these key spots, and then you take Terrell Suggs out of the lineup with that injury for however long he's missing, what does that leave this team?
You know, the defense is a bit older, so some of these younger players like Lardarius Webb, Haloti Ngata, this is their time to step forward and, you know, become key players. They already are, but, you know, even more so because, as you know, the torch eventually gets passed, and guys like Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, you know, they're in their final years, and these other guys are, you know, in their prime, and they'll be the, you know, the new faces of the defense eventually.
And when we look at the offense and what can transpire there, on the assumption that Ray Rice is a part of it, obviously, but Joe Flacco, you mentioned contractually, you know, taking a look at his situation. How about the rest of how this offense comes together, and what are you expecting of it, and just how much of the aggressive attacking thing through the air can we expect from a team that ultimately maybe needed a little more of that to get to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think Cam Cameron knows that they need to throw the ball a little more and throw better down the field. As they gain confidence in Torrey Smith, they'll probably open things up a bit more. And Torrey, you know, improved as the year went on, had a pretty solid rookie year. And I think that he's one of those guys that they're going to give him a lot of chances. And if he shows that he will catch the ball consistently, then this will offense will have more of a vertical presence. But they are a run-first offense, and you know, Cam Cameron believes in that, and that's what's worked for him over the years. So I don't see them changing significantly. But they had a little pizzazz to the passing, I guess.
Well, great stuff. We appreciate it, Aaron, and we look forward to catching up with you down the line.
Okay, thanks very much, Vic.
He is Aaron Wilson from the Carroll County Times, covers the Ravens, helping us update that team as we kick off the first of our three-part series, taking a look at the updates of the rest of the teams in the AFC North. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.